I guess he's not.
He might be.
He probably is.
Yeah, somewhere in the background.
He's not in this radio show.
No, it's okay.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
I just feel bad for him.
Oh, like he's going to be fine. That thing's going to be great tonight. The Bear Down podcast is going to be taking place tonight. I'm going to see maybe about getting over there. That thing is going to be awesome. At the Candlelight Chicago, inside the IO Theater. That's in Lincoln Park. That's going to be an awesome event.
Matt, thanks for joining us. We're really sorry about the technical issues here, man. Because, look, we know how much you want to talk about the Bears, and we want to talk about your career. But I'm glad that you're on the phone, and we thank you very much for hanging in there with us.
Thank you for having me. And turns out all those layoffs at the Score IT department didn't pay off.
They really didn't. No. You just got a lot more real than you bargained for.
if you knew how true of a statement
you just made, we are going in the emotional tank for the rest of the interview. You've absolutely buried us. Whatever, man. Walsh knew stuff, and he led with that.
Fellas.
Yeah. We like that you keeps it real, Matt. Before we talk about your career, I'd love to know, like, as someone who grew up here, and when's the moment when you fall in love with the Bears?
You know, I have great memories of my father. I'm one of like seven kids, so I had some one-on-one time with my dad. He would get tickets, and we went to this bar, you know, the classic bus that picked you up at his bar, and we went downtown, and we sat behind these drunken firemen in the south end zone for 3 or 4 years during the Abe Gibran era and Jack Pardee, perhaps, that era. And I just have the best memories. These guys in front of us were hilarious and super drunk. They were passing a thermos around of probably Everclear, but they were so sweet. And there was always like singing on the bus on the way home. And I just remember that was like really good bonding times and really cold, but really fun.
That's really awesome.
I was like 9 or 10, probably.
Did your dad bring sandwiches? I sat out there once and people like brought sandwiches, and I guess they did every week.
You know, I think there was like, it was the all-inclusive South Side. You get the buffet at the bar and the bus ticket. And then I think, unfortunately, they offered some of the guys all you can drink. So they would get on the bus. Yeah. They would probably have flasks, would be my guess. But my dad didn't bring sandwiches. But we would kind of load up at this buffet beforehand and probably get something afterwards, yeah.
And Matt, is this the year that happiness ensues? Because we thought that last year was the year that happiness would ensue, and that did not take place. It ended up being, I don't know, one of the ugliest Bears seasons of all time, perhaps one of the most embarrassing of the multiple national embarrassments we've been through in recent years. So yeah. Does that change now?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think the closeness and a couple of the clownish endings were heartbreaking, right? That's what hurts more than anything. Underperforming always hurts, but this year, I mean, my happiness would be solid defense, and I'd love to see like tons of points. I'd love to see like the era when like Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey were lighting it up, like that kind of offense, you know?
Yeah, it's funny too, because we had a reminder yesterday, like the Tribune did a whole thing of guys bringing all of their stuff to training camp, and one of the pictures was a very unhappy Jay Cutler showing up to the training camp back in 2009, and just the look on his face is hilarious, and it's like, wow, now it just really is emblematic of that entire era of football with Jay. It's I hope that there is happiness for everyone. You're a little older than I am. I was 10 when the Bears won it. Okay, so I'm a kid growing up in Roseland when the Bears won it. And I remember that Sunday and how great it was and everything else. Since you're a little older, I'm wondering, did you think, oh, this is just the beginning of what we're getting ready to do to this league? We're going to be back here every single year.
Yeah, I mean, we were stacked. Yeah, I was down at the next year's playoff game, and I think we lost to Doug Flutie and the Redskins. We had Doug Flutie. I forget who their quarterback was, but that was like the era of like we were so stacked, and everything seemed to be in place, and it just quite didn't work out, did it?
No, not quite. I.O. Fest 2025 is happening, and there's all kinds of stuff that's happening as a part of it, including the Bear Down podcast, which is tonight over at Candlelight Chicago. So it's you, it's Scott Armstrong, who wrote Old School, right?
He wrote Old School, he wrote Semi-Pro, he wrote one of the Hangovers, he wrote Road Trip. He wrote a bunch of funny classic movies for our generation, if you will.
Unbelievable. And then Brad Morris, your pal, who's been on this show once as himself, once not as himself.
Really?
And you know, like this is a big pile of funny humans, and you've all you got together to talk bears. And is that still the backdrop? How much bears are we getting tonight?
We're going to get a lot of bears. We have a lot of characters. We used to do a podcast. We stopped about 10 years ago called Bear Down Podcast. And so this is sort of a reunion of that crew. And we're going to have the oldest living honey bear on. Our friend Claudia Wallace is going to play her. We're going to have, I think we're going to have Mikhail Prokhorov, Russian billionaire. We might have the Pope. There's rumors the Pope might come to the show. We have Fireman Pete, king of the South End Zone, who sabotages the Packers whenever he gets a chance. I might be in a blimp circling the field. We don't know. But so that's kind of the taste of what's going to happen tonight. And we also have some traveling items from the Bears Hall of Fame Museum that are on loan. So we're going to have a guy with white gloves guarding them, like the Stanley Cup guy. And we might have one of Mike Ditka's old hats. So we're pretty excited.
So Matt, Spees and I know a bunch of people that, you know, work in Hollywood but have come from Chicago.
We know a lot of very famous people, Matt, is what Lawrence is trying to say.
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that...
I was trying to say that. Matt, okay. We're very well connected. If you need anything, you talk to us after
the
segment.
Well, now we know Matt. But I am curious about this. Chicagoans are very provincial, and we are very loud about our teams, and the Bears being the team that we're probably the loudest about. I'd love to know from your travels in Hollywood circles, are you running into other Bears fans, and do you guys commiserate about that? And have you made any converts? Are there people that have had to listen to you complain and bitch about the Bears so much that they now join you in your misery?
I hope not. I hope I haven't brought anyone into my misery. That's a friend. But people, yeah, like, you know, when we had the podcast, we had people like Ike Barinholtz is a big Bears fan, and Ron Livingston would come around and do bits, and Jake Johnson, another Chicago dude. Weirdly, Sam Levine, who I think is from New York, is a fan. So we have a lot of, like, a gathering of like comedians who do in fact care about the Bears. I wish I could think of someone. You know what's tragic is my children aren't even hardcore Bear fans. I don't even know what's happening. I don't know if I scared them away by like telling them to be quiet during the game or something, but like they have not adopted my passion. And that's, if I died without one Bear fan of my three children, I may have failed as a father.
Are they football fans or sports fans or no?
You know, my oldest son is probably not a true sports fan. He would go to a live event. He would go to a game with me if there's like seats in the stadium and some catering. And then my middle guy is unfortunately a Laker fan.
Oh boy, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's got to be blasphemy to you.
That's tough.
I support his passion, but I'm not crazy about that, you know, fandom, if you will. But I like LeBron, so hey, whatever. And they're fun to watch if you can get a ticket. But so there's that. And then my daughter, she kind of plays soccer and volleyball, and I don't know. She might be the sleeper because she likes when you make jokes about the classic bad teams like the Browns or the Jets or the Bills. And I'm like, no, you can't make a Bills joke right now. Because they're on a run. Like, they're solid. You can still make Browns jokes. And the Jets, that's an eternal comedy joke. So she likes comedy when you smack talk the bad teams. So I think she might be the sleeper Bears fan now that I'm talking. This is like therapy.
Good.
I'm talking it out loud.
Yeah. No,
I haven't failed. I haven't failed.
Right. You didn't raise a Packers fan because that was on the table.
Oh, my God. My father-in-law is a Packers fan, and we had a floating bet. You know, it was like a check we would send back and forth for like 15 years. And after a while, they just won every time I stopped.
Oh, they killed.
That's a great question for you sports experts. In the last 20 years, how many times have we beat the Packers? Or maybe somebody in research. Do we still have a research department?
Yes. Alex, you get on that. Mr. Walsh has needs.
Well, but we do know it's simple math that they had run up 11 in a row.
Yeah,
so
man.
5.5 years of the Bears not winning until Caleb and the boys won at Lambeau last year.
Yeah, no, it's completely unfair, and it's wrong. Here's what I think, though. We've been waiting for the quarterback savior all along. I think it's the coach savior. I think it's the coach who's going to be a badass and run the entire thing like Ditka. Finally, we got the Godhead coach. That's the savior. That's what's going to do it, is this dude, this Ben dude. I'm convinced.
I love hearing that, and I also think, obviously, Ditka was great, but he seemed like the kind of guy who would burn bridges. You know what I mean? It's my way or the highway.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
These guys are adults.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys are adults. And like, dude, I'm a pro. You don't have to yell at me anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit.
There's some of that that's going on. Matt Walsh is our guest. The legendary Bear Down podcast returns for the first time in over a decade tonight at Candlelight Theater as part of IO Fest. Got to ask you about something I see you in every year. And like every time Elf is on in perpetuity on TNT, I believe, or actually last year, me and the wife went to go see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra play the soundtrack of it while we watched. It was so cool. Because it's
fun.
Oh, man, it was great. And there you are as the man on the street being interviewed by Charlotte, the news lady at the end. Here's a little taste of that.
I'm here with another eyewitness who has his own version of what happened. Sir, what did you see?
I think you're great, Charlotte. I saw something fall from the sky right in the middle of Central Park. I mean, you're a great news lady.
Thank you. Could you tell me a bit more about what you saw fall from the sky?
Yeah. Your eyes tell the story. That's what I love about you. You got a great mouth. The thing just dropped in the middle of Central Park.
That is so wonderfully uncomfortable in like the cleanest, most beloved, like simple, earnest thing. And then you are just filthy with a smile. How did you get away with that?
That was loosely improvised. John Favreau, who directed that, told me to kind of hit on her. And I had a few things I knew I wanted to say, and I might have pitched him a couple things. He's like, yeah, just try that. And I don't believe on some of the takes she knew what was coming at her. So some of that startled reaction, she was great, that woman. She's a great actor. But I think it was like surprising her like a little bit. So that was really fun to do. And that was, in the middle of New York City, Central Park. It was so fun to like shoot a movie at Christmas, and they shut it down, and we got the park to ourselves, and it's late at night. It was really special.
When it came to Veep, you're kind of stuck between having great words on paper and having a cast full of people that are great at improv. How much did you guys play around with what was written?
We played around in rehearsal, truthfully. Like, we would workshop things, and the writers would be in the room for the first 4 years when we were in Baltimore, and they would crib notes and go, oh, that's good. Or there would be a problematic scene in the script, and Armando, the creator director, would be like, let's just put the scripts down and sort of fumble through a better version. And so Julia would lead, and, you know, we would all jump in and workshop things. And the big thing about that is we kind of trusted each other to sort of fail and not try to be too funny, which can be the death when you're trying to figure something out. And that was great. It was like a safe playground. And then later years, we owned the characters. And when we were in Los Angeles, there was less and less. But when we got to set, it was pretty tightly written. And we could maybe get a free take where you could kind of goof around, or you could always pitch ideas. But it was very well written by the time we got the cameras up and running.
Matt Walsh, this is a pleasure, man. Thanks for slogging your way through the tech issues. And it's going to be great, this thing tonight, man. I know it's going to be great. I heard Jerry Reinsdorf might also make an appearance.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Yes.
Jerry Reinsdorf might be launching his own Jerry Reinsdorf Museum with 90 partners, by the 90 financial partners.
Can't do that kind of thing alone. No way.
No, you need partners.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
Matt, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'll come back. I enjoy you guys.